lead us on to the light. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We recognize that out of the darkness, we eventually will experience a joyous daybreak as the people of God. I'm glad to be here this morning. I trust that you are glad as well to be able to assemble together with the saints of God. It was David who said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I trust that you share with the gladness of David at the opportunity of coming to this place that we might worship God together. I'm going to lower my microphone for a bit, and I'm seeking direction from the control room. And I'm sure they will let me know if I need to make any further adjustments. For audio visual assistance, I depend upon Gary Davis and those who are working with him. That's Hart Street's audio visual control center. Of course, now I get some other directions and further more important guidance on a much nobler and much elevated plane. I see Gary headed down this way. Maybe he's coming to help me. But the control center that really matters, the control center that really counts, that's the control center in heaven where Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, occupying the position as the head over the church, having supreme authority, having been given by God the Father all power in heaven and on earth. And he provides us with all of the guidance that we need. I want to thank those who have led us in our worship service thus far. Brother Drexel Green did a fine job. He reminds me of his daddy many, many years ago at Hart Street at South Hill. Brother Green was known for his singing. And they tell me the apple don't fall very far from the tree. And certainly Brother Drexel did a fine job today, and you did a fine job singing together with him today. We appreciate Brother Ewan for reading our scripture lesson this evening. And we appreciate the prayer this morning. I said this evening, didn't I? I meant this morning. Yeah, no, it's not evening yet, but we appreciate the prayer led by Brother James Waller. Good to see all of you this morning. Especially is it delightful and encouraging to see Sister Barbara Kuhl. Sister Kuhl, and wearing a smile that you can see a mile. And we are glad to hear that because we know she's really had some real challenging times. She's suffered some serious blows and setbacks, but the thing is, she is still standing. And she's still here today with the saints. I was talking to a colleague of mine at work this week, and we were talking about boxing, Brother Williams, talking about Joe Louis. And Joe Louis was known as the Brown Bomber. Yeah, he had some mighty hard shots he could throw toward a fella. My dad said Joe had one shot that if he hit you with it, if you didn't fall, he'd walk around behind you and see what was holding you up. So Barbara has taken some mighty blows, but she's still standing. And if the devil will just walk around behind her, he'll be able to discover what's holding her up. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, her Savior, who has got her back. And he will never leave her or us or forsake us. And I'm glad to see that she's here today. I call your attention this morning to an Old Testament passage, one of my favorite stories in all of sacred literature. It speaks volumes to our hearts even today. I'm reminded of Romans 15 and verse 4 that we used to quote all of the time. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I'm going to talk to you about Rahab in our lesson this morning. And I want to use as the specific title of our lesson this morning, Rehab for Rahab. Rehab for Rahab. And I want to share with you that Rahab's house became a rehab house. Any of you folks ever been in rehab? I'm persuaded that some of you have. If you had knee replacement surgery, if you had some other kind of surgery, you had to go to rehab. You had to be rehabilitated. So God enrolled Rahab in his divine rehabilitation program, and he provided rehab for Rahab. Her house became a rehab house. It became a place of help. It became a place of healing. It became a place of hope, a place of safety, a place of security, a place of salvation. She and her family, again, I emphasize, became enrolled in God's divine rehabilitation and recovery program of redemption. She was offered hope. Hope is the offspring of faith. Faith is the progenitor of hope. It gives rise to hope. It gives birth to hope. And I want to define hope in our lesson today, and the kind of hope that was generated in the heart of Rahab, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. And I'd like to, as an acrostic, describe hope as help offered people everywhere. H-O-P-E. And God offers help to people everywhere because he offers salvation to people everywhere. And I want to emphasize in our lesson today that none is beyond the grace and love of God. God's grace, may we always be reminded, is greater than our sins. Rahab had been trafficking in harlotry, in prostitution. Rahab was a pagan. Rahab's city had been identified for destruction because Rahab was a citizen of Jericho. Rahab was in serious need of rehabilitation. Her life had been tarnished by sin, but so has yours. So has mine. Don't try to look down on Sister Rahab simply because she was a prostitute. Don't try to look down on Sister Rahab simply because she was a woman of the world. Her life was tarnished by sin. Your life is tarnished by sin. My life is tarnished by sin. Our lives are tarnished, stained, and tainted by pride and hatred, envy and jealousy, lust and greed, selfishness, deceit, murder, fornication, adultery, malice, and bitterness. Because the Bible reminds us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, sometimes some of us carry ourselves as if we have always been Christians. We've always been perfect. We've always been all right. We've never done anything bad. We've never committed any sin. But Paul contradicts this in the Word of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, one thing that is interesting, and this offers me hope, this provides me with encouragement. No matter who you are, or how you have lived, or how egregiously you have sinned, God still can use you. Amen. You might say, well, Brother Jones, if you just knew the kind of things I have done, if you knew some of the stuff I've done, you wouldn't think that God could use me at all. If you knew some of the things that I have done, you might think God couldn't use me. But God could use Rahab. God could use David in a prominent position as a man after his own heart, but a man who committed adultery, a man who committed murder, cold-blooded, calculated murder. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. God could use him. God could use Peter. God could use Paul. God can use us all. God can use us all if we are just willing to submit ourselves to him and bow to him in humble and submissive obedience. God could use an ex-harlot, a previous prostitute. God loved Rahab. She needed rehabilitating. She needed a makeover. So do you. So do I. And none of us, none has arrived. None has made it yet. And the thing that is impressive about Rahab is the fact that she became, Rahab became an ancestress of Jesus. She is in his genealogical line as given in Matthew. There were a number of women who were in the line of Jesus' genealogy, his ancestry. The inclusion of five women in Jesus' genealogy: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and Mary. The inclusion of five women is rather unusual, since descent was usually traced through men as the head of the family. But these women were prominent in the genealogical record of Jesus. Rahab and Ruth were Gentiles. Tamar, Rahab, and Bathsheba were women of questionable character. Yet, the Lord used them in bringing Jesus into the world. The lineage of Christ is comprised of men, women, adulterers, prostitutes, heroes, and Gentiles. Isn't that something? And Jesus will be the Savior of all of them. They needed rehabilitation. They needed to be restored. They needed to be brought to a condition of health, a usefulness, and constructive activity, and so do we all. Rehab refers to usually a program for helping people who have problems with drugs and alcohol and sometimes other conditions and other maladies. Y'all have any problems? You say, well, I've never used drugs. I have. I've taken Percocet. I've taken Lortabs. I've never been addicted to them. I've never got hung on them. Then when I was a boy, Consuela, I had a drug problem. Y'all didn't know that. Solomon's looking at me and say, Brother Jones, you had a drug problem? I did. You see, one thing I didn't like was getting out of bed early in the morning. So Mama drugged me out of bed. She did. Mama drugged me to school. Mama drugged me to the cotton field. Mama drugged me to the back room and blistered my hindquarters. We need more people today with that kind of drug problem. Yeah, that's the kind of drug problem you need. And really, I was kind of in Mama's rehab program. And I'm glad I was, because I'm a whole lot better off now than I would have been had Mama and Daddy not disciplined me appropriately, not abusively. Yeah, I believe in beating children. I know some people say, that's cruel. That's a crying shame, Brother Jones, that you believe in beating children. The Bible says, if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. He might holler like you're killing him, but he won't die. And I don't say my philosophy of parenting and discipline and punishment should be openly embraced by everybody. You know, you might choose to put a child in time out. You might choose to take his phone from him for a week. You might choose to send him to his room without supper. I'm gonna send you to your room and you stay in there. You stay in there for 4 hours, don't you come out of there. That's like putting Brer Rabbit in the briar patch. He has everything in that room that he wants and everything that he needs. And he'll love the peace and quiet and the isolation from your fussing and complaining and nagging. So you're sending him into a virtual haven. I prefer just to get me a switch. Get me a switch. Nobody should abuse a child. My philosophy is when it comes to corporal punishment, get a hold of yourself before you get a hold of your child. You want to be in possession of your faculties. You want to be able to discipline your children with self-control. And you want to be able to discipline them with love. That was a little boy told, daddy told his little boy as he was getting ready to beat him. He said, son, I'm going to give you this whooping because I love you. And the little fella looked up at his dad. He said, I wish I was big enough to return your love. Now that was ugly on his part. But Rahab was a special individual because she was just like you and just like me. Let's take a look quickly at the development of Rahab's faith. This is Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Joshua 2, 10 through 13. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. We've heard about y'all. We've heard about your God when you came out of Egypt. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites, you were virtually invincible. That were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. They developed, Rahab did, a reverential awe of God. She became convinced that Israel's God was the God of heaven, was the God of the universe. Verse number 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, faith cometh by hearing, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Rahab came to faith in Jehovah God, the sovereign creator and ruler of the universe. Notice, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She came to faith in God. She wanted to have God, the God of the Israelites, to be her God. And she said in verse number 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Now I want you to pay particularly close attention to verse number 13. She said, I've showed you kindness, verse 12. I want you to show me kindness. And that you will save alive my father and my mama, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. I am impressed by the evangelistic zeal exemplified by Sister Rahab. It is reminiscent of the spirit of Paul that was demonstrated on behalf of his fellow Israelites. Romans chapter 10, starting with verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and not submitting themselves unto the righteousness of God, but have gone about to establish their own righteousness. But he said, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Who do you want to see be saved? Do you have a prayer to God for neighbors, for relatives, for cousins, for siblings, for mama, for papa, for grandma, for Aunt Susie, Uncle John? Whom are you so concerned about their salvation that you pray to God for them that they might be saved? Rahab said, I want to be saved. I don't want to die. I don't want to perish when the walls come tumbling down, when my fellow citizens are destroyed. I want to be saved. But I don't just want to be saved just by myself. I want especially the folks that are closest to me to be saved too. I want my mama and my daddy, my brothers and my sisters and my close relations, I want them to be saved. So we can see the development of Rahab's faith. Now let's look quickly in the New Testament to the Hall of the Faithful and look at the declaration of Rahab's faith. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. It was Rahab's faith that led ultimately to her salvation, to her escape from the destruction, the judgment that was brought upon the citizens of Jericho. When she had that faith generated in her heart, in a sense, at that point, she was enrolled in God's rehabilitation recovery program. Amen. All of us are in need of rehabilitation because all have been debilitated, devastated, decimated, defeated, and in some instances, we have been almost destroyed by sin. Sin does debilitate us. Sin does weaken us. But God rehabilitates. God restores. God rejuvenates us. Rahab's house became a rehab house. Rahab, fortunately, was exposed to God's people. She was exposed to God's power. She was exposed to God's provisions. She was exposed to God's promises. God's people, God's power, God's provision, God's promises. She was saved inside her house. And as I hasten on, anybody that needed to be saved or she wanted to be saved, where did they have to come? Where did they have to come? They had to come to Rahab's house, which was built upon the wall, which was going to fall. But that was the place of safety. And that is very impressive to me. Grandmama, if you want to be saved, honey, you got to come to my house. Well, what's so special about your house? How come I can't stay in my house? Isn't one house just as good as another? It ought not make no difference which house. A house is a house is a house. You keep on believing that. If you want to be saved, honey, granny, you better come into the house. Better come into the house. Because that's where salvation is. Everybody that was to be saved was to be in Rahab's house. Do you realize that was the only house of safety? The only house of security? The only house of salvation? Kind of reminds me of the church. Kind of reminds me of the church of the Lord. That's where salvation is. Some people said don't make no difference. One church is just as good as another. Any church will do. Select the church of your choice. Select the house of your choice in Jericho. Doesn't have to be this house. One house is as good as another. So, honey, Aunt Susan, if you want to stay in your house, go ahead and stay in your house, honey. You don't have to come down here to be in my house. Don't you believe it, Aunt Susie? Don't you fall for it, sister. You better find your way to Rahab's house, the rehab house, the house of safety, the house of security, the house of salvation, the house that will stand when the judgment comes. Don't you want to be in the right house? Don't you want to be in the house that you can read about in the Bible? Paul said, Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the people were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church, just one, the church daily, such as should be saved. Well, it doesn't seem like it ought to make any difference. Everybody who wanted to be saved had to come into Rahab's house. That was the scarlet thread. Verse number 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. You see, the means of escape and salvation for the spies, the two spies that came to spy out the land that Rahab hid on the top of her house, covered them up with some flax. That scarlet thread or scarlet rope, she let them down by that, down from the wall. they were saved by that scarlet thread. They were instructed now, in order to identify this house as your house and as the rehab house and as the salvation house, as the secure house, as the safe house. You know, there are certain businesses that are designated around the city as safe houses. So if a woman is being abused, she can run there for safety. She can run there for security. This house, and they have certain signs, you know, that this is a safe house. The scarlet thread that was put in the window of Rahab's house, it was the symbol of the safety, the security, and the salvation in Rahab's house. The house of God, the church of Christ, is the place of safety, place of security, place of salvation. The scarlet thread of the blood of Jesus identifies it as the place of salvation, the place to be. Paul said to the Ephesian elders of Ephesus at Miletus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, that scarlet thread was important. Then the secluded tenants, that thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, all thy father's household home unto thee. Bring them in your house, Rahab, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. That's what the spies said. Whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our heads, if any hand be upon him. Now, if you stay in the house, you're all right. Don't leave the house. Don't get out of the house. Don't abandon the house. Stay in the house. That's what I say to folks today. No matter what might be happening in your life, no matter what storms you might be embroiled in, no matter what trials you're going through, no matter what suffering you are expending or experiencing, stay in the house. If you leave the house, if you go out of the house, you are on your own. The spies said, we ain't responsible for what happens to you if you go out of the house. You better stay in the house where safety is. The secluded tenants, then the scarlet thread. We've talked about the secluded tenants, but then the silent tongues, and I'm almost through. Chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Our oath will be voided. Our contract with you will be nullified. Don't you tell the officials. Don't you tell the authorities. Keep your mouth closed. You know, sometimes it's just better to keep your mouth closed. Better to keep your mouth closed. We have to learn that. The story is told of a frog who wanted to go south for the winter. But he didn't have no way. How can a frog jump south, brother Brother Solomon. But he wanted to go down south. It would be nice and warm in the winter. And some geese passed by. And they stopped for some water and for a bathroom break. And the frog looked at him. He said, will y'all help me go south? And they said, well, I don't know if we can help you go south or not. And the frog said, I have an idea. Say, see that stick over there? One of you guys can put one end of the stick in your mouth, and the other one can put the other end of the stick in his mouth. And I will take my mouth and put it right in the center of the stick. I'll hold on. I'll hold on for dear life. And y'all together, flying along, y'all can take me all the way down south, down to Florida, to the Everglades. And the guys said, the geese say, well, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll be happy to help you out. And so they followed his instructions. One goose had one end of the stick in his mouth. The other one had the other end of the stick in his mouth. And the frog holding on to the center of the stick. And they were flying. And they flew kind of low. And a farmer looked up. And that for him was a most remarkable sight. And he couldn't help but asking, he said, whose idea was that? And the frog said, mine. If he had just kept his trap closed, Larry Reese, he would have made it south. A lot of us have some serious problems because we don't keep our mouths closed. Let's look at the rest of the story. Joshua 6, 17, then 22 through 25. Joshua 6, 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Notice only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. When the day came, they marched around the city of Jericho one time each day for 6 days. On that seventh day, they marched around seven times. And the trumpets were blown. The shout was made. The walls came tumbling down. Notice verse 22 of chapter 6. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go where? Into the harlot's house. Bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swore unto her. Verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred. Isn't that wonderful? Because of Rahab. And left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire. And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. That's the time of the writing, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Do you think any of her folks, any of her relatives would have been saved, would have been spared if they had stayed home in their own houses or if they had selected a house of their choice? Do you think any of those folk would have been saved? I don't think so. Only Rahab and her folks that were in her house with her were saved. The lesson is yours. Maybe you are here today. Maybe you are not in the house of the Lord. Maybe you're not a part of God's family. Maybe you're not in the church of the Lord's choice. I would urge you to get in it today. I would urge you to become a part of it today. You can do that through obedience to the gospel. Jesus died for your sins and mine according to the scriptures. Jesus was buried. Jesus was raised triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Later, Jesus ascended back to heaven where he is now ruling and serving as head over the church of Christ. He is the Savior of the body, his house. Will you become a part of it? Will you believe that good news of the gospel with all of your heart? Will you repent of all of your sins? Will you confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God? Will you submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins so that you can arise to walk in the newness of life? The opportunity is yours. Maybe you're already a child of God. Maybe you're already a Christian, but maybe you're having some serious issues. Maybe you're in need of rehabilitation. You need to be a part of God's rehabilitation program. You need to be in God's rehab house. You might be suffering from issues like pride, envy, gossip, jealousy, hatred, malice, bitterness, selfishness. Whatever your malady is, whatever your problem is, God has the power to rehabilitate you. Doesn't make any difference what your condition is. You said, Brother John, I just don't believe there's no help for me. Enroll in God's divine rehabilitation and recovery program. There is help for you in the house of God and among the people of God. If you're a Christian facing challenges, let it be known so we can pray with you and for you. If you have fallen from the faith, if you have trampled under calloused and insensitive feet the holy commandments of the Lord, why not repent? Why not rededicate your life to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer? Why not come right now as we together stand and as we sing? What can wash away?